Thank the Lord Jesus. Praise God. Well, it's time for us to open our Bibles this morning. Hallelujah. What a privilege. You know, there are a lot of people in this world who can't do what we're doing today. They don't have Bibles that they can open. And sometimes if they do have Bibles, they're heavily persecuted for it. Did you know that there are places in this world where if you have one of these books, one of these precious books filled with the Word of God, you can be killed for it? But that's not the case here, and we are so blessed to have this privilege. Now, I just wish more people would do it. And I think I mentioned this last week. It was either last week or the week before. As this virus crisis has been ongoing and people have been shut down and locked down and so forth, people who should be reading their Bibles have been reading it less. They've done studies and surveys and determined that people are reading their Bibles less than they used to before. And that's really a sad thing because we need this book now more than ever. Praise God. Now I'm going to put a title on this message. It's going to be a very short title, but it's going to be an important title. We're calling the message today, Fear Not. Fear Not. And I think this will be a very timely message when we consider everything that is happening in the world right now. We will be opening to Psalm 27 to begin with today, but before I read even one verse, we're going to pray one more time. Father in heaven, we come before Thee in prayer this morning, thanking Thee, Lord, for this precious book. We thank Thee, Lord, for Thy promises. We thank Thee, Lord, for the security and the peace that we find only in Thee. We pray, Lord, that Thou would help us, O God, to embrace Thy promises fully. We pray, O God, that Thou would help us to overcome all fear. And we pray, Lord, that Thy Spirit would work in each and every one of us in a mighty and powerful way. We ask, Lord, that our minds would be firmly focused on Thee this morning. Let there be no hindrances here today, but we pray, O God, that our thoughts would be of Thee and of Thy Word and of Thy precious promises and of Thy love towards Thy people. We ask, Lord, that there would be no hindrances whatsoever, but we bind and we break any force of darkness or any hindering power that would dare come against us, knowing full well that Thou art sovereign, that Thou art Almighty God, that there is no name greater than in that mighty name of Jesus, and we know that at that mighty name of Jesus, even the devils must flee away. We ask, O God, that Thou would give us ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts that would perceive and understand, and we pray this in Jesus' name, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, it's been quite a week for me. As I mentioned Wednesday night, you know, we had a little adventure this last week because, actually, it was last Sunday. We were sleeping in our beds it was probably pretty close to early Monday morning at that point. But, you know, all of a sudden I woke up to Leah shrieking, and apparently there were a couple of bats in our bedroom. So I got out of bed quickly and tried to, you know, get out of the room as quickly as we could so we could concoct a plan to deal with these creatures. And I actually fell in the bedroom, and I fell pretty hard, and, you know, I was in quite a bit of pain on pretty much my entire left side, you know, my leg hurt, my waist, my stomach, my shoulder, my neck, everything was hurting on my left side. But, you know, thankfully I'm feeling a lot better, and my arm is still stiff, but I think that's getting better too, so if you could keep me in prayer regarding that, I'd appreciate it very much. And, you know, the next day we went to that bedroom, and we went over it with a fine-tooth comb because we had only been able to get, well, Leah caught it actually with a net. We were only able to get rid of one of the bats that previous night. So we checked the next day. We couldn't find the other one. We thought we checked every nook and cranny. So we went to sleep, and then lo and behold, there was that bat that night. So two nights in a row. And thankfully, they haven't been back since. We did put some screening on our portable air conditioner. We think that's how they got in before. But thankfully, there haven't been any since then, and we're praying there won't be any. That's always disconcerting. You know, we know that the bats do serve a purpose. They eat a lot of bugs, which is a good thing, but we don't want them in our houses. So praise the Lord. You know, that was quite the ordeal. And I'm thankful they haven't been back. But, you know, I was busy anyway because it was newsletter week. And I finally finished writing it yesterday morning. Had to get up very early to do it, and then I dropped it off at Mom's house for proofreading. But it was a very, very busy week for me. And then, of course, I realized, well, it's Saturday, so now that I've got this newsletter done and written, I'm going to have to switch gears and get ready to preach tomorrow. And, of course, at the time, I didn't know what this message would be. But one thing that I had definitely come to realize as I was writing that newsletter is that we are living in unprecedented times. We are seeing things that are truly amazing. And a lot of people are very afraid right now because of all of the trouble and turmoil. You know, it's not just the virus. In fact, there's so many other things happening in the world right now that the virus has kind of lost its attention at this point. People aren't talking about it quite as much. You know, August, the month of August, it was unbelievable. It was one thing after another. You know, at the beginning of the month, I remember talking to my wife and saying, I wonder what's going to happen this month. With a little bit of concern, because the way this year has gone, you kind of got the feeling that there was going to be some bad things happening in the month of August. And, you know, they had that derecho down in Iowa, and actually it covered several states. It traveled 800 miles. And it brought winds, this was in early August, winds of over 100 miles an hour. It topped out at 112 miles an hour. And that's the same speed as a Category 3 hurricane. And it caused a lot of damage in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Almost every building in that city has damage. 20 schools also suffered damage, and they lost half of their trees. Half. But that storm traveled 800 miles. And that was just the beginning, really, because there were so many other things that happened. You know, in California, they've got these wildfires, and it's very strange how quickly these are moving and how they just pop up in some of these places. But, you know, I had mentioned, I think it was last week, it was either last week or the week before, that there had been 11,000 lightning strikes in California. Well, since then, and this might even be out of date now, it's grown to 14,000 lightning strikes, and they've had hundreds of fires. And some of those fires were so intense that they were consuming 1,000 acres in an hour, if you can imagine. And I also thought it was kind of interesting that one of the fires near Los Angeles is called the Lake Fire, which to me sounds very close to Lake of Fire, which, as you might know from the book of Revelation, is a term that the Bible uses for hell. And if you look at the pictures of California, it looks like hell on earth. Of course, that's not the only problem they have in California. A lot of people are on heavy, heavy, heavy restrictions because of the virus, but they're also having rolling blackouts and, in some cases, triple-digit temperatures. So you had these people who had no air conditioning because the power was out. These fires were burning, so they couldn't open their window. And on top of that, they can't go anywhere because of the lockdown. If you can imagine, that is a kind of a new level of misery. So, yeah, I've heard from people in California who describe it as hell. You know, it does sound very hellish, doesn't it? And that's not all that happened. You know, oh, by the way, other places around the world are burning too. They're having record fires down in the Amazon, Brazil, and even the Arctic region of Siberia is on fire. Further north than ever before, so that's a cause for concern as well. There's a lot of places on fire right now. And, of course, we just recently had a couple of tropical storms. One of them was named Laura, one of them was named Marco, and Marco ended up, you know, being fairly undamaging, really. Faded out, you know. It actually became a hurricane for a short period of time in the Gulf, and then it went back to a tropical storm before it made landfall in the United States. traveling through the Gulf of Mexico. But what was really unusual about this was that the fact that there were two tropical storms at the same time in the Gulf of Mexico. So there you saw the sea and the waves roaring. And of course, Laura did a lot of damage in Louisiana. There was one congressperson, John Kennedy from Louisiana, not to be confused with JFK, but he said that it looked like a bomb went off in Louisiana. There's so much damage down there from Hurricane Laura. It was a Category 4 when it struck. So we're seeing all these things happening at the same time, and then, unfortunately, this country is dealing with so much turmoil right now due to these riots. And of course, that has really affected the state of Wisconsin in a very personal way over the last week, because there was that shooting in Kenosha last week. I believe it was actually last Sunday when that occurred. And, you know, I understand the outrage at some of these incidents. You know, with George Floyd, you can see, yeah, the cop had his knee on his neck for almost nine minutes, and there's no excuse for that. That's just silly. It just looked like he was murdering George Floyd in cold blood. And, you know, Breonna Taylor, that was a terrible, terrible thing that happened to her as well. But, you know, in this situation, I don't think it's quite the same. And, you know, I'm not happy at all that this man, Jacob Blake, got shot in Kenosha. But I have to ask people, stop and think and tell me what you think the police officer should have done, knowing the fact that this man was not only scuffling with police, they tried to tase him with their stun guns and it didn't work. And then he kept moving towards his vehicle. And they found a knife. He had a knife. He had a knife in the car, and he was likely reaching for the knife when the cop shot him. What was he supposed to do? Of course, we know that there was great outrage over that, and there still is. And it's sad that it happened, but, you know, it's not quite the same as these other incidents. He did have a weapon. And generally, it's a bad idea to resist arrest when cops have guns on you and then to try to go for a weapon. That's not going to end well, especially when they have guns and you have a knife. But, you know, it's sad, but of course after that, chaos erupted in Kenosha and there was trouble with rioting and burning. And of course we know there was that young man, 17 years old, who came over from Antioch, Illinois. He had a gun and he was actually there to watch over some of those establishments, from what I understand, and I don't know what happened. All I know is that, you know, he says it was self-defense, and his lawyer says it was self-defense, so all I know is that he shot three people, and two of them died. It may very well have been self-defense, but, you know, there's only so much you can glean from cell phone footage. But given the nastiness of these people, it wouldn't surprise me if it was self-defense, honestly. And when you consider the other things that are happening in some of these places, and I wrote about this extensively in the newsletter that will be coming out next week, these things that people are doing, it's gone beyond protesting. And like I've said, people have a right to protest in this country. It is a constitutional right. If you want to peacefully protest, you can. And, you know, it's guaranteed by the Constitution, but rioting is against the law. It causes damage. It does great harm. But some of these things that have been happening go beyond even rioting. You know, earlier at the beginning of the month of August, these rioters concocted this plan to do bodily harm to the police officers. What they did is they tried to barricade a police department while the police officers were still inside, and then they attempted to set the building on fire. And the mayor of Portland was so enraged by that, he said what they were doing was attempting to commit murder. And that's true, that is what they were doing. But then, just this last week, something very similar happened in Seattle. Perhaps they were trying to commit a copycat crime there, but these rioters, they went to a police station in Seattle. And this time, what they tried to do is seal the door shut at the police station with quick-set concrete. Now, they also broke off the key card reader, but thankfully they used too much water in the mixture and the police officers were able to kick the door open. But they put concrete all over this door, tried to seal it off, and then they were going to set it on fire. They were trying to kill those police officers. That is not protesting. That is murder. That is acts of direct domestic terrorism. And we're seeing this whole country being taken over by these revolutionaries. Make no mistake about it. These aren't ordinary protesters. These are revolutionaries. And they're trying to bring down the entire country. And Benjamin Crump, a lawyer who is actually representing Jacob Blake, he said that unless we get what we want, unless our demands are met, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit here, he said cities all across the country are going to burn. That's pretty nasty, isn't it? But that is the mentality of these revolutionaries right now. And it's ugly. And as a consequence of everything that is happening in this world, and particularly in this country right now, people are very, very afraid. But I want to reassure you today, because we serve a God in heaven who is sovereign, a God in heaven who has told us, and His people, all of His people, time and time again, fear not. We're going to start in Psalm 27 this morning. Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? Well, we know that we are living in a time when there are many fearful sights, but we also know that when you truly serve the Lord, when you know that He is with you, you know that He has the final say and the final authority in all things, we know that He is able to protect His people. And when you realize that He is with you, you really have nothing to fear. Even with all of these things we're seeing happening in this country, you still don't have to be afraid. Why? Because the Lord is your light. The Lord is your salvation.
Amen. Praise our God.
The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in His temple. Oh, that's what we need to seek after. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And when you do that, He will meet the needs of His people. He will meet your needs. He knows exactly what you need. And sometimes as human beings, we get a little confused thinking we need something that we perhaps don't. Sometimes we get our wants confused with our needs. But God will give you what you need if you put Him first, if you seek Him with your whole heart. And that should be the desire of our hearts, to be as close as we possibly can to the Lord. Especially right now, as we see all this turmoil in the world, you should be trying to get closer and closer and closer to the Lord Jesus, as close as you possibly can be. We need to study His Word. We need to pray. We need to sing His praises. We need to strengthen the brethren. And the sisters in Christ as well. Oh yes, we need to lift each other up. That is such a needful thing right now. But yes, we need to seek the Lord. That is what will keep all of that fear that comes upon people at bay. Remember something. You're fighting against your own flesh. It would be a natural human thing to look around at what's happening in the world and be afraid. But when God gives you His Spirit, that is what strengthens you to overcome your own humanity, your own flesh. And we're going to look at numerous verses today that show God can deliver us from our fears. God can help His people. Praise the Lord. Verse 5, for in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. Of course, David was a man who was well acquainted with trouble. He had to run for his life at times. There were people out there who wanted to kill him for no good reason, because of misunderstandings and delusions that King Saul had in his head. He thought that David needed to die. Of course, David had no ill will or animosity in his heart toward King Saul whatsoever. In fact, he loved King Saul. It was heartbreaking for him that he had to run and flee from King Saul. He meant him no harm whatsoever. But, of course, we know that David, not only did he have to deal with that, but he had to deal with the Philistines. And he had to deal with sometimes even members of his own family betraying him. He was no stranger to trouble. But he knew the one who could deliver him from his trouble. He knew the one who had delivered him from his trouble time and time and time again. For in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. Oh yes. Stay firmly fastened to that rock, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the rock of our salvation. He is our firm foundation. There's a lot of storms in this world right now, and I don't just mean the weather. There's a lot of storms, so be fastened upon that rock. Be firm in the Lord. Verse 6. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. And I tell you what, when you realize how the Lord has watched over you, how the Lord has helped you, how the Lord has strengthened you, you're going to want to sing His praises. Praise the Lord. Verse 7, hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When Thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto Thee, Thy face, Lord, will I seek. And by the way, Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, God is invisible. So when you seek God's face, you are seeking Jesus Christ. And that was true even back here. Praise the Lord. Verse 9, hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me. O God of my salvation, who else is going to help us? You know, we have a very dysfunctional government right now. They can't even come up with a stimulus package. Both sides say, well, we need a stimulus package. Both sides say we need to put out stimulus checks, but they can't agree on it. And then they went on vacation. I mean, a lot of people are struggling. And I tell you what, the best thing you can do is turn to the Lord for help. He can make a way where there is no way. Of course, you know, if you live in a socialistic country or a communistic country, the government actually becomes the god of the people, where people turn to the government to supply all their needs. I would rather turn to the Lord. I tell you what, I trust the Lord a whole lot more than I trust the government. Praise God. Hide not thy face far from me, it tells us in verse 9. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Sometimes even your own family members will forsake you. But even if that happens, God is still with you, and God still loves you. Praise God. Verse 11, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed. To see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And that's a verse that we can apply to our lives very much right now in this time that we are living in. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. And if you do that, what happens? He shall strengthen thine heart. Praise the Lord. So this psalm makes it very clear that when you serve the Lord, when you put your faith, your trust, your confidence in the Lord Jesus, in God, then you don't have to be afraid. And you know, you can read time and time again how God strengthened His people, how God helped His people, how God spoke to His people. And in the book of Genesis, you can read a lot of stories. And in fact, there's a story of how Abraham valiantly fought to rescue his nephew, Lot, who had been taken prisoner. And he won a mighty battle because the Lord was with him. And you know, when that battle was over, God appeared to Abraham, whose name at the time was still Abram. And this is what he said to him in Genesis 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Oh, what a blessing to have the Lord tell you that. Fear not. And He is our shield today, too. He is our exceeding great reward today as well. But you know, in the 26th chapter of Genesis, God appeared to Abram's son, Isaac. And He told him that he didn't need to be afraid either. Genesis chapter 26, verse 24 tells us, And the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee and will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. Oh, what a promise. And people might think, oh, well, that must have been wonderful. That God would make these promises to Abraham and Isaac, and I wish that He would make those promises to me. Well, He has. In this book, He has made that same promise that He will not leave us. He will not forsake us. And Jesus, time and time and time again, told people, fear not. It is one of the underlying themes of the gospel. Because when you turn to the Lord Jesus in faith, when He takes your sins away, when He washes you in His blood, and He promises you the gift of eternal salvation, you don't have anything else to be afraid of. And you know what? The Lord not only appeared to Abraham and to Isaac, but He also appeared to Jacob one day. As Jacob was preparing to journey down to Egypt, where his son, his long-lost son, Joseph, was located and had risen to a rank of great power. Of course, that was all part of God's plan. It was the salvation of His people. God worked all those details out ahead of time. But in Genesis chapter 46, verses 2 through 3, it tells us, And God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night, and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, Here am I. And he said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. And you know, I think it's just so wonderful that God spake not only to Abraham, but also to Isaac and to Jacob, promising to be with them wherever they went, whatever they had to do. He wasn't going to forsake His people. Praise the Lord. And then Jesus came along. And like I said, time and time again, He told people to fear not. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 10 right now. I like this chapter. In fact, I love this chapter. I couldn't help but notice that in this chapter, the Lord Jesus makes three fear not statements. And as we go through it, we'll be getting to those. But we're going to start with verse 1 and get a running start at this. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Praise God. And if you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ today, you have that same authority over the devil and every wicked and evil spirit. They want you to forget that, but don't you ever forget it. They are all subject to the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, and through Him we have authority over them. They do not want you to remember that. They don't want you to know that, but don't ever forget it. Verse 2. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: the first, Simon, which is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now this doesn't mean that Jesus didn't love the Gentiles, and it certainly doesn't mean that Jesus didn't love the Samaritans. We know that He did. In fact, you can read numerous stories of Jesus and His interactions with the Samaritans. He reached out to them personally. But He told His disciples to go first to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. They were going to hear the gospel first. Now, thank God, some of them did repent, but a lot of them did reject it, which is a very sad thing, especially since they had the first opportunity to obey that gospel call. But here Jesus is sending out His disciples. Verse 7, And as ye go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Praise God. That's what the Spirit of God can do. Yes, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, His healing virtue, can cleanse the lepers. Yes, He can raise the dead. You know, I've heard stories of people who died on the operating table and then mysteriously came back to life. It's happened on more than one occasion. And yes, that still happens even in this period of time we live in now. And yes, we can still cast out devils. Praise the Lord. Verse 9 tells us, Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. I tell you what, that would require great confidence. You can't have fear in your life if you're going to go and do this. If you're going to go out there and preach the gospel and take no provisions along with you, and not even any money, not a change of clothes, nothing except the clothes on your back, if you could do something like that, there's no way fear could be working in your heart. Because that would be a very scary thing to do. I mean, the equivalent of that would be is if you tried to get in your car, you know, and drive to the Pacific coast, and it would be 2,000 miles from here, and take no money along, but just get in your car and try to figure out how you're going to get there. Well, the Lord could get you there if He really wanted to get you there. Of course, we know the Lord is able to do all things. The Lord even has the ability to teleport His people, as He did to Philip, after He baptized the Ethiopian eunuch. Praise God. You know, scientists are trying to figure out teleportation. God knows how to do it already. Praise God. By the way, they're doing some very incredibly creepy things right now with their inventions and their wicked devices. Elon Musk, the man who runs SpaceX and Tesla Motors, he's now designed a chip for people's brains. It's called Neuralink. And he's saying that this chip will even be able to modify your thoughts, change your mood. You'll even be able to stream music directly to your brain. And He's already implanted these in animals, by the way. They're doing tests on them. It's called Neuralink. Sounds like the mark of the beast to me. Remember, it's a mark in your hand or in your forehead. So, watch out for that. These are interesting days for sure. And yes, we need God's help. We need to be fearless in this day and age. And of course, his disciples were instructed to go forth, take nothing with you. And that would require fearlessness. Verse 11, and into whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till ye go thence. And when ye come into a house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words when ye depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. That's an important thing to remember, too. Sometimes you have to do that. I know that as good, God-fearing people, it is your desire to reach the lost. And I know sometimes you might desperately want to reach someone, but if they don't have ears to hear, there's nothing you can do to give them ears to hear. God has to do it. And if they are unwilling to receive the gospel, a time comes when you have to shake the dust off your feet and move on. Because if you spend too much time on those people who are unwilling to hear, it may prevent you from reaching others who are willing to hear, others who are hungry to hear the gospel, others who are hungering and thirsting after righteousness. So we need to know. And that's why we need God's Spirit to give us discernment so that we know when to move on. Verse 15, verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. You see, that is the consequence of rejecting the gospel. And you know, another thing that they were doing in recent weeks in Portland, Oregon, those rioters, they were burning Bibles. A stack of Bibles. Now, what does that have to do with ending racism? Absolutely nothing. They're actually just trying to stir up trouble. And they're trying to make a mockery out of God's word. Anyone who could do that is obviously a God-hater. But like I said, these people are revolutionaries, and that is heinous behavior. But when you reject the gospel, and I think that is the ultimate rejection of the gospel, to burn a Bible, to desecrate the word of God like that is rejecting the gospel. And Jesus here is saying, for those who reject the gospel, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment. And of course, we know what he did to Sodom and Gomorrah. He rained down fire and brimstone from heaven. Now, if the people in that city were more tolerable than these others, it's hard to fathom, isn't it? But this is what Jesus said. And those people who reject the word of God, who reject the gospel, they're going to be in trouble. More trouble than we can even comprehend. Verse 16, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Praise the Lord. God does give us wisdom. It's His Spirit working in us that gives us wisdom. And the Scriptures also instruct us to be harmless. We can't go out there with malice in our hearts looking to do harm and to cause trouble. And you know what? Something that I can tell you with absolute certainty, that every single one of those people who went out there and rioted and pillaged and looted and caused harm, every single one of those people was at enmity with God. None of them were Christians, because a Christian would never do those things. We are instructed to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And when you're going out there and causing that kind of destruction, you are certainly not being as harmless as a dove. You know, what's really interesting about this chapter, Jesus here is telling his disciples that they have power and that they have authority over the devils. And we know that as Christians filled with the Spirit of God, we can send the devil packing. In fact, the Scripture tells us, resist the devil and he will flee from you. You can scare the devil. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? You can scare the devil. The devil can be scared of you and should be scared of you because you belong to the Lord Jesus. But Matthew chapter 10, verse 17 tells us, but beware of men. And most of the trouble that you're going to encounter in your life as a Christian is going to be brought on by men and women. There might be people who hate you, and they don't even know why they hate you. But it's because they have a different father than you. And so the Spirit working in them feels the Spirit working in you and is hostile to that Spirit because that Spirit is God. That Spirit is the Lord Jesus working in you. If people have devils, they are going to respond negatively to people who have the Holy Ghost. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up. And as I've said before, time and time again, people are the devil's favorite weapon. He loves to use people. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. I tell you what, if that ever happens to you, just remember, be fearless. Be fearless. He's telling these disciples all of these things so that when the time would come, when this would happen to them, they would be fearless. And when you read about the apostles in the book of Acts, that was some fearless behavior. When you look at the things that Peter did, and James and John and the Apostle Paul and Paul's companions, all of these things they did, the exploits they performed for the Lord, they were fearless. And you can be fearless too if you have God's Spirit. Jesus is warning them that all these things were going to happen. Verse 19, oh, and by the way, as we know from the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul actually did appear before governors and rulers. And you know what? That didn't stop them from sharing the gospel. Verse 19, but when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. Sometimes we might struggle to know what to say. But let God give you the words. Let God fill your mouth. Let God take control. Verse 20, for it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father to the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents, and cause them to be put to death, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Jesus here isn't promising that it'll be easy, but he's telling them to have some grit, to have some determination, to have some endurance. Because if you endure to the end, you have salvation waiting for you on the other side. Praise the Lord. Verse 23, and when they persecute you in this city, flee ye into another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. And you know, if you read the book of Acts, you can read examples of that too, where the Apostle Paul had to flee for his life. Sometimes he had to leave very quickly because he was so hated. And he was hated because God was working in him and with him and through him. Verse 24, the disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Don't be surprised if people hate you. If they hated the Lord Jesus Christ, they're going to hate you too. Because you're His child. You're His adopted child. Of course they're not going to like you. But don't let that trouble you. Verse 26 tells us, "Fear them not, therefore. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known." Praise God. Now that's the first fear not statement we find in this chapter. He's telling us you don't have to be afraid of these wicked people. Their evil deeds are going to be uncovered one way or another. It will all come to light. Verse 27, "What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. And what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." You know, they could threaten you with death even. You won't be killed, though, unless it's the Lord's will that it's your time to go. And if it is your time to go, the next life is going to be way better than this one anyway. And when you realize that they can't kill your soul, you don't have to be afraid anymore. There's only one whom we should fear. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we should fear God. But if you fear God, if you respect Him, if you honor Him, if you walk with Him, and if you obey Him, you do not have to be afraid of anyone else. Praise the Lord. Verse 29, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered." Oh, what a thought that God would care about us so much. We who are just insignificant human beings floating around in space on this ball. And yet He takes the time to know us, to care about us to the point that even the very hairs of our head are numbered. Praise the Lord. Verse 31, "Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows." You don't have to be afraid. And you want to know why you don't have to be afraid? Because you are valuable to God. You are valuable to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, He loves every single one of those little sparrows. He loves the little creatures. But He loves you way more. "Ye are of more value than many sparrows." We don't have to be afraid. Verse 32, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." So this chapter tells us some very important things. We see, not once, but three times He tells us, "Fear not." And now, we're going to go to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, we're going to begin with verse 13 this morning. Verse 13 tells us, "And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me." And of course, he was speaking to the Lord Jesus. But this was so unimportant in this big scheme of things. Jesus was not concerned with these matters. He didn't want to intervene in the dividing of an inheritance. In fact, Jesus didn't care about money much at all. I don't think He liked dealing with it. There were times when they needed money for certain things. Of course, Him being God manifest in the flesh, He was able to provide it. Even when they needed to pay tribute. Well, what happened? Peter found a coin in that fish. And it took care of the whole thing. Yes, God can do that. He can provide for your needs. But he, obviously, and you can tell from the way he responds, that he was actually annoyed by this man. Yes, Jesus Christ got annoyed sometimes. Verse 14, and he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. There's more to life than just accruing stuff, and accruing wealth, and accruing money. In fact, you can have billions of dollars. I saw on the news the other day that Jeff Bezos is now the first, I believe it was the first $200 billion man. That's a lot of money. They say his wealth increases at a rate of $275 million every day. But that's not the meaning of life. And you'll notice that these people who have so much wealth, they're often bored with life, aren't they? Because that money they have cannot fill the longing of the soul. It can't fill that emptiness. Only God can do that. Amen. So, Jesus here is warning, take heed and beware of covetousness. And when Jesus Christ tells you to beware of something, you better beware of it. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. For he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. This man thought, Well, times are good, and they're going to stay good. Nothing can stop me now. I've got all this stuff stored up. I am set for life. Verse 19, And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. You know, it almost kind of makes me think of how, you know, in this country, everything seemed so prosperous. People thought, oh, this is great. The economy is so strong. Donald Trump is doing such a great job as president. And then the virus strikes, and everything comes tumbling down. And they still have their artificially inflated stock market, but I tell you what, if that ever pops, this country's going to be in real big trouble. They're propping that up. And now they're saying that inflation could kick in quite heavily. It's not the prosperous country it was even 6 months ago. Things have changed, and that's how quickly they can change. So don't have confidence in your money, in your wealth, in your goods. That can change. Our possessions in this world, there's nothing we have that can't be taken away tomorrow. What's important is that we have the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have His promise of eternal salvation. Nobody can take that away from you. The only person who can rob you of that is yourself. But this man said, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? And we can't take it with us. All that stuff that you have accrued in your life, when you pass from this life to the next, you're not taking any of it along. You know, in Egypt they used to have those tombs and they would gather all kinds of stuff, items, even money and so forth, and they put it by those graves in those tombs next to the departed because they thought that they would need to take those items and that they would need them in the afterlife. But guess what? They found those tombs later and all that stuff was still there. You don't take it with you. You can't take it with you. And that's okay because you're not going to need it. Praise the Lord. I tell you what, when you're in heaven walking the streets of gold, you're not going to care about your 401k anymore. Praise the Lord. So, verse 20 tells us, "But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich toward God. And he said unto his disciples, Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on." Jesus here is telling us not to worry about these things. God can provide these things. He can provide everything we need. Verse 23, "The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouses nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit?" You're not going to make yourself get taller just by thinking about it. And it's the same way with worry. You know, my dad used to use this old saying sometimes. He'd say that worry is like rocking in a rocking chair. It'll give you something to do, but it won't get you anywhere. And that's so true. It occupies your mind, but it doesn't solve any problems. I tell you, what can change things, though, is prayer. Verse 26, "If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not, and yet I say unto you, that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind." And this is so important to remember, even in the day and age we live in right now, when there's a lot of concern about what are we going to eat, what are we going to drink, where are we going to buy our clothes, how are we going to pay our mortgage. God will make a way, but there's something very important that you must do. Put him first. Verse 30, "For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." That's what you need to do. Seek God, put him first. And that's something we've always strived to do here at this ministry. And the Lord has helped us time and time and time again. You know, it's actually very expensive to run this church and this ministry. People would be surprised if they knew how expensive it is. And just recently, we received a letter from the city. Of course, they've been doing that road construction outside, and they had to replace the pipes, both here at the church and at Faith House. And they said that that's going to cost us $10,000. Well, I'm not worried about it, because I know the Lord will provide a way. He's done it so many times before for us, and I have no doubt in my mind that he will do it again. You know, this church has been here for 46 years now. We're still going, and we have no intention of slowing down. But we're going to continue to do what we've always done and seek the kingdom of God, to seek God first. "But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." Now, this is the verse that I wanted to get to. You know, he talks about cares and anxiety and worry, but then he says, with his gentle reassurance in verse 32, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Not only will he give you the kingdom, he wants to give you the kingdom. And when you realize that, you don't have to be afraid anymore. Praise the Lord. Time is quickly ticking, but let's go to Hebrews chapter 13 for just a few verses. Hebrews chapter 13. So I'm going to start with verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. You never know. Sometimes when angels do appear, most of the time they're invisible, but sometimes they do appear to people, and sometimes they look just like ordinary people. It's very possible that you could have entertained angels unawares and not even have known it. Verse 3, remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Yes. That still holds true today. God's the same yesterday, today, forever. He's not going to change his mind on that, despite what the activities of people might be. Verse 5, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. No matter what happens, he's right there with you. Who knows what might happen in the future? They could do another lockdown. They could confine us to our homes. But even if you're alone in your home, wherever that may be, just remember you're not truly alone because the Lord is right there with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Verse 6, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Oh, yes. That is how we overcome fear. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ. He has promised he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. You know, 1 John chapter 4, verses 17 through 18 tell us, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. So if you really want to overcome your fears, the best way to do that is love God with your whole heart, your whole mind, and with all your strength. Yeah. Praise the Lord. And it also tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Love God, and love one another, and you won't have anything to be afraid of. Praise the Lord. I'm going to close with a prayer. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this day, thanking thee, Lord, for all thy blessings. We thank thee for thy promises, and we thank thee, Lord, for the knowledge that thou art with us, that thou wilt never leave us. We thank thee, Lord, that we can be secure in thee, that we can not be afraid of the challenges we face in this life. But we know, Lord, that we can boldly come before thee, knowing full well that thou hast promised that thou would never leave us nor forsake us. We pray, Lord, that thou would give us all strength in these days ahead. Help us to walk with thee day and night, and to do thy will. We pray, Lord, that thou would bless all thy people. Help us, O God, to seek thee with our whole hearts, to be obedient to thy promises and to thy will and to thy commandments, Lord. We ask for thy blessings to be upon all thy people, and we pray this in Jesus' name through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to sing a song in closing. Before we do that, I do just want to mention, though, I was alerted last night that part of our website, lasttrumpetministries.org, is down at the moment. The registration for the domain name did expire. I've renewed it, but as of this morning, it still wasn't functioning. We're looking to get that going again as quickly as possible, so just bear with us while that's worked out. But we're going to open our hymnals, our Melodies of Praise hymnals, and we're going to turn to number... let me just check and make sure it's the right number before I announce it. Number 251 in the hymnal, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms, 251. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning
secure from all alarms. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Safe and secure from all alarms. Lean on the everlasting arms. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Lean on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Lean, safe and secure from all alarms. Lean on the everlasting arms. Lean, safe and secure from all alarms. Lean on the everlasting arms. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We are dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name.